Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Kara Hetland in today for Lori Walsh, and we're continuing our conversation about education in South Dakota, and we're going to focus now on how Native American curriculum and cultural understandings have been included in state schools and where we might go from here. And so three states in the country have laws requiring the inclusion of Native American subject matter. They're Montana, Washington, and most recently, Wyoming. And so we guessed our own Jackie Hendry to look into those requirements and tell us what she can find out. And she joins me in the studio now. Jackie, thanks for all the great work today.
Thanks, Kara. I'm excited to talk about this today.
Okay. So we just threw it to you and said, go find out. And what did you learn?
I learned so much. It could easily fill a few hours of conversation topics, but I want to start off, of the three states, Montana was the first state in the union to pass some kind of curriculum requirement, and that came in 1999. But actually, Montana has been really a trailblazer and really unique in this area in a lot of different ways. For example, as early as 1972, Montana had a state constitutional mandate within the education section of their constitution relating to the inclusion of Native history and culture and contemporary contributions within the state's educational goals. But that was more kind of just a statement, an acknowledgement of the state. So in 99, the Indian Education for All Act sought to put some action behind that and really incorporate that education into all K through 12 subject areas. Interestingly, even the Indian Education for All Act was initially unfunded, and there was actually a lawsuit between some school districts in the state and the legislature, which found that, in fact, the act was unfunded. The legislature sought funding, and now for the last 11 years, the act has been seeking funding and working through that. And there are a lot of other ways that Montana is unique. I spoke with the director of Indian Education, Mandy Smoker Broaddus, and she told me some of the aspects that make Montana interesting in this regard.
The thing that's unique in Montana is that it does not just apply to, say, history. And I think that's the approach that some states have taken, and I think it's a natural beginning point. But in Montana, we're required in all content areas, in all grade levels, to teach about American Indians. So that includes mathematics, for example, which wouldn't seem like a natural place, but we've had some interesting experiences in developing curriculum and teacher resources for math and other content areas.
So it's really coming up with the curriculum and then sending it out to schools and the ideas?
In some ways, yes. It's a real group effort of getting input from different tribes, because I don't have the number right in front of me for Montana specifically, but almost anywhere in the state, you're in pretty close proximity to some Native tribe. Oh, I do have it. It's 12 tribes, 11 of which are federally recognized, one of which is state recognized, and that's another interesting thing about Montana. But each one of these has its own cultural perspectives. So there's input with the tribes, collaboration with the school districts, trying to get that information somewhat localized, and then also making sure that teachers are aware of how to deal with this subject matter. And we do have a bite from Mandy more about the teacher resources that are available and some of the unique things there from that resource.
Since we've had our act for 11 years, in theory, we've had kindergartners, you know, go through almost an entire, you know, school career, hopefully, with not perfect, you know, it's not a perfect system, but they're learning a little bit more. They have access to more accurate information. You know, they get to do things like bring in guest speakers, host powwows, have field trips. So the exposure is there. And we just hope that over time those things build and help students just have a more well-rounded understanding of American Indians.
Right, so that's for exposure for the students. She also told me a bit about how there are actual field trips for teachers that they can take. So the example she gave me was for the Crow tribe, teachers who might not be near a reservation community, they take a trip there, visit some culturally relevant sites, meet with the people, and then she says they often feel more transformed and able to deal with that subject matter once the teachers have had more firsthand experience with it.
Okay, so you also, we're going to move on to some of the other states that you looked into. Washington was the second state to pass curriculum requirements in 2015.
Right, and that was a bit of an extended effort, and I suppose that's the case for all of these states. And usually the general trend tends to be about a decade's worth of work in pushing this. Senator John McCoy of Washington really started leading the charge with this around 2004, he told me, after tribal members expressed to him a desire to have those histories and cultures taught in common schools. When he first started this push, he was told that the mandatory requirement, that was the phrasing in the bill, if he kept that, it would never pass. And basically, he reasoned that moving to encourage, the phrasing to encouraging, was at least a foot in the door. So that was able to pass. And then by around 2013 to 2015, the bill was brought up again with the required language. This curriculum will be required in public schools. And that was able to pass in 2015. And he spoke to some of the benefits that they are seeing from having that required curriculum.
We are starting to see a pickup in graduation rates in the Native communities because kids are now starting to see their value, that they have value in history, that they have something to offer, and it's normally on the positive side. Now, I'm not saying everything is roses. Still have the racial equity issues that we continue to address. The importance of this is that everybody is of value to their community. And by learning and understanding their history and their culture only fortifies their value and them wanting to succeed and be a valuable member of that community. So it is about who they are. This is who I am, and I'm proud of who I am. And history, in some cases, we have conflicts in history from the non-Indian point of view and then from the Indian point of view. Well, through education, you resolve some of those conflicts, and therefore you reduce the number of those conflicts, and hopefully that everybody starts getting along better.
And if a student sees themselves of value in the classroom, then they will stick it out longer, graduation rates increase?
That seems to be the trend. Based on all three conversations, the idea seems to be, you know, seeing yourself reflected in the classroom. And we see this in higher education research and at most levels. If you see role models or see value in your identity and the educational materials that you're exposed to, that really reinforces your own sense of self-worth and maybe the idea that you can go on and continue, whether, you know, through graduation and then on to whatever other opportunities.
Okay, and Wyoming passed the American Indian Education Program just this year.
That's right, and I had the chance to talk to Representative Jim Allen in Wyoming. Interesting case for him. He is a non-Native individual, but grew up and still lives on the Wyoming's One Reservation Wind River. And he notes that while he is a Republican and generally most of his Native constituents are not, usually it's hard to get elected as a Republican, but he notes as long as you work hard for them, they will respect that, and he's able to do that. So the interesting thing about this bill, it has two parts, but I want to focus on the first part, and here's Representative Allen's explanation of that.
It's short and sweet. There's only really two elements about the bill. And or the law now, and that is the first component is that the State Board of Education will evaluate and review the existing social studies content and performance standards to ensure the cultural heritage, history, and contemporary contributions of American Indians are addressed in the standards. Now, in Wyoming, our Constitution disallows the legislature to dictate curriculum, but at the same time, we have standard for each of the, like English and math and social studies and so forth. They're more like guidelines so that there's some amount of consistency between the 48 school districts in the state.
So what I found interesting about this, you know, Montana has that state constitutional mandate to include this. Washington, when I asked Senator McCoy about this, there was no specific one way or the other, but he noted the devotion to giving Washington students a quality education, and Native students are included in that very clearly. Mm-hmm. But with Wyoming, the legislature is forbidden, really, from making those curriculum requirements. But the fun thing about politics is there's always some massaging that can be done. And so rather than requiring curriculum through the legislature requires that the school Department of Education look at those standards. And then when the standards are adjusted, then teachers are able to incorporate that how they will and have resources there. We'll be able to look at the second part of that bill now, which relates to now that this bill has been passed and once those standards are revisited, then what happens next?
The other part of the bill, it requires the State Department of Education to make these materials available in conjunction with the tribes. And so the tribes have a direct input or have direct input into the content and to what they want to teach or have presented. I shouldn't say teach, but what they want taught. And so they can tell their own story, essentially. And so, but they, you know, it's working within the structure and the framework that we already have, which is the social studies content or standards, and they'll work together to come up with this in conjunction with each other. And so that material will be out there, and so the teachers from these various school districts can take that information, incorporate it into their classroom in whatever fashion they want to do. And so it's a pretty simple concept. It's a kind of a, here it is, if you'd like to use it, go ahead and use it, we want you to use it, and we'll see how it goes. And then if this works, we won't have to tinker with it. If we're not getting the results that we want, we might have to address it in the future and tweak a few things. But we're pretty excited, and all these things are being done right now. The tribes are working with the State Board of Education, or the Department of Education, to come up with these this material.
And that material is available in South Dakota. We just heard Secretary Schaap tell you that there are some curriculum ideas for how to teach some Native American history and that kind of thing.
Right. There are some resources online. I believe my understanding is that the Ocheti Shakoin standards is maybe more intended to be a resource for educators who might have Native students, or maybe just kind of a primer, like here is what Ocheti Shakoin means. Here's who they are, some general cultural.
Not so much how to teach the history.
Right. And there are interviews and things, more resources, but my understanding is not necessarily curriculum per se. Maybe some lesson plans on the Wo Lakota website. I haven't checked that out quite yet, but something along those lines. And it seems that all three of these states, these resources generally tend to be made available online, so students or teachers can access it quite easily that way.
Okay. Jackie Hendry, I want to thank you for your work on this and for laying out what's happening in our neighboring states. And when we come back from this quick break, we're going to spend some time and talk with State Representative Sean Bordeaux and also Mato Standing High, the Director of Indian Education for South Dakota, to find out where we're headed.